If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Paul Nolte is Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist for Murphy and Sylvest. Good morning, Paul. Let's talk first about President Trump's decision to fire Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook late yesterday. It seems like so far the reaction from the markets is muted. I think it's going to stay that way?
That's a good word. Yes, I think they will stay this way because it's still very much up in the air as to what's next. Our understanding is that Ms. Cook has hired lawyers, is lawyering up. We're not sure what happens if she reports to work today. Mm-hmm. This is likely to go to the courts, so it will play out over the course of time as to what happens next. There's no real clean, easy answer, because allegedly what she did was prior to her time on the Federal Reserve Board, and firing for cause pertains to when she is on the Federal Reserve Board. So it's still pretty murky.
Yes, and she says she's going to show up for work today. Let's talk about what the Fed Chair Powell said in his Jackson Hole speech. And I know you described it as walking a fine line, didn't you?
He did walk a fine line. Oh, by the way, my flight to Jackson Hole got canceled, so I didn't make the trip. but what he said, in essence, was the Fed is a lot more concerned about the perceived softness in the labor market based on the employment data that we've gotten the last couple of months. The revision is downward to the employment data. So their feeling is that the employment situation is deteriorating faster than the inflation data is getting hotter or higher. So they're looking at kind of mathematically, maybe the second derivative of the curves that we're seeing, that they're more concerned now about employment falling apart, so they need to be cutting rates, even though inflation is still going higher. But they think that that is, hate to use the word, transitory, but temporary due to the tariffs.
The impact of the tariffs probably won't really be felt much until well into next year, will it?
We're seeing a little bit here and there. We saw some in the producer price index. We get the personal consumption expenditures index, our favorite indicator. It's the Fed's inflation gauge later this week. We may get a little bit more information there. But again, as we've talked about, the tariffs are very much a moving target. There was some announcement this morning about exporting chips, and there's going to be some restrictions on those exports. Computer chips, not potato chips. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's very much a moving target and changing all the time. So there's really not a lot of consistency to it. So we think it's going to play out over time. Who eats the tariffs? Some of it is on the producers. Some of it's on the importers. Some of it's on your shoulders and mine.
As far as stocks are concerned, boy, the markets really reacted in a positive way when the Fed chairman announced. Well, he kind of hinted about rate cuts, didn't he, in that speech?
Yeah, because that was such a big shift. Only a couple of weeks earlier at the Fed meeting, they were saying, nope, you know, everything's good, we like it. And then the employment report came out afterwards, and that really shifted the rhetoric. So again, Wall Street likes lower interest rates. They think that the stocks can do well in a very low interest rate environment. It creates less competition for stocks. But I'll remind listeners, too, that interest rates were declining in the 2000 to 2002 period while stocks were declining. And in 2007 to 2008 period when we were going through the great financial crisis. So because interest rates are falling doesn't necessarily mean the stocks are going up, very much dependent on what is happening to earnings in the overall economy.
What are the bargains in the stock market now? Are there any?
I think there are. Certainly when you look, relatively speaking, value, large cap value stocks, health care look pretty good. Small cap is very inexpensive, but that has been the case for a long time. And you get days like Friday where The large cap stocks are only up 1.5%. Small caps are up 3.5%. So there is the potential there for a lot of a gain relative to the big cap stocks. And then finally, international. If interest rates do decline, the dollar is likely also to decline. And that'll give you some extra return on your international investing.
Headline in the Wall Street Journal today, what margin debt says about markets. More investors are using borrowed money to buy shares, but this isn't necessarily a signal of a top. So does that mean that there's more borrowing by investors mean they're getting bullish?
It does to a certain extent. And here's the nuance in that analysis. Margin debt is high. It is at all-time highs, but so is the stock market. So when you compare the margin debt that is out versus stocks, we're at a high level, but again, as the article indicated, we're not at high enough levels to say, yep, this is everybody's going crazy and really levering up on it. So margin debt is a function of what's happening to the stock market. As the market goes up, you would expect margin debt to go up. It's the relationship between the two when margin debt gets to be a bigger percentage that we should be concerned, but we're not there yet.
Paul Nolte, Murphy & Silvestre, thank you for explaining the financial headlines today. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
More next week.